Ama gene teminanda sea, zena zena salakaya. Taksu sumira dandena tasmaya sri gira venama ha. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam, Mr. Pitam, Mr. Pitale, Sayam, Mr. Pagala, Mayam, Mr. Dati, Sahab. Anjaka Vadu Vishya, Pritishan Vibhaya Vishya, Pratitanam Vabhine, Govaishvili, Vamanama. Reading about a wonderful pastime wherein Devasa Muni becomes very angry at the great devotee Ambarish Maharaj. And as a result of that anger, which was quite unwarranted, Devasa Muni plucked some hair from his head and threw it to the ground and created a great powerful creature who was supposed to punish Ambarish Maharaj. But Ambarish Maharaj was fearless because of his great devotion to the Lord and because the Lord had given his own chakra to protect Ambarish Maharaj and his city. So that chakra burnt to ashes, this fearful creature created by Devasa Muni, who was a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. And then the chakra became was furious that his devotee, the Lord's devotee, was being attacked. And he began to chase Devasa Muni, who fled throughout the world, the universe. He took shelter of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and neither of those two could protect him. And finally, on the advice of Lord Shiva, he went to take shelter of Lord Brahma. Speaking of Lord Vishnu, because that the chakra was from Lord Vishnu. So he said, and this is text 62 of the fourth chapter of the ninth canto, "O my Lord," the Devasa Muni said to Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, "O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction of this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your Lordship." So he's glorifying the holy name, showing the potency of the purificatory chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So he's saying, "Please protect me. I've done something horrible. I've offended your dear devotee. Now save me from your own chakra that is burning me through its intense heat." Now, the Lord's reply in text, in texts 63 through 69 through 70 are very, very important verses because they describe the Lord's identity, how much the Lord identifies with his devotees and how dear his devotees are to him. And these verses are placed in the ninth canto. This pastime is in the ninth canto. Because we'll see to the... Here we will understand the great love of the Lord for his devotees. And in the tenth canto, we will actually see the incredible dealings, to the highest extent, the topmost dealings between the Lord and his devotees. So step by step, in the first nine cantos of the Bhagavatam, we are being purified by the instructions, we are being purified by the hearing of the Bhagavatam, and we're also getting the necessary conceptions in place so we can understand the topmost dealings between the Lord and His devotees, which are the dealings in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So points will come up in these verses, and they have been they're very wonderful verses. So we read them all last week in the last class. But these verses will show how not only are the devotees by definition devotees of the Lord, but the Lord reciprocates with their devotion by becoming the devotee of His devotees. So this first verse is especially quoted. Sri Bhagavan Vatsa, so Lord Narayan said, Aham Bhakta Paradino. I, my bhakta, am controlled. I am dependent upon my devotee. Yasvantantreva dvija. I am asvatantra. I am not independent. Svatantra means independent. Even though, by definition, the Lord, or Krishna, Lord Narayan, is the only living entity, the only being who is independent. Because He is called the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth, Janmad Yasyataha, is that truth upon which every other truth depends. Everything else depends on Him, but He depends on nothing else. But yet He is saying, I am Asvatantra. I am dependent upon my devotees. Very, very wonderful. So this is an incredible conception of Krishna, of God, and it will be again fully manifest in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. We'll actually see God completely depending upon His devotees. We'll see Him dancing when He's a young a baby, and the ladies, His devotees, the ladies of Vrindavan are clapping and He's dancing. Completely controlled by His devotees, crying tears, God, with tears coming from His eyes, when Mother Yasoda is chastising Him. Him stealing. He who by definition possesses everything. If there's a lack in God, then he is not God, because that means there's something outside of the realm in which that He possesses. So how could God be lacking something, but yet He's stealing? So what is the cause of the incredible dealings in Vrindavan? Now we're learning this, that this is the Lord's dealings with His devotees. And actually, this is the Lord's dealings with His devotees. And devotee means he who has taken shelter of the internal energy of the Lord, which is Krishna's Ladini Shakti, or Swarup Shakti. This is what it means to be a devotee. Tritiya Shakti Uchate. There are three. Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta Chaitra Gyakya Tatapara. There are three Shaktis of the Lord. This is the understanding of the Absolute Truth. There is a Lord and His energies. One energy is Vishnu Shakti, the internal energy. Another energy is Maya Shakti, the external energy. And then there is Tatastha Shakti, the marginal energy. The tiny sparks of Krishna, which we are, that are alive, qualitatively the same as Him, but quantitatively tiny. That is what we are. That gives life to the body. And this Vishnu Shakti, this Tatastha Shakti, because it's small, like a spark, it needs an energy to take shelter. So when that spark takes shelter of the external energy, the Maya Shakti, then its spiritual nature is extinguished, just like a spark taking shelter of water. Separated from fire and taking shelter of water, it's extinguished. So our spiritual nature isn't exactly extinguished, but it's practically speaking extinguished, and we act as if, just like the spark acts, it becomes water practically. So we become matter, And when the body dies, which we're identifying with, we experience death. When the modes of material nature, the Maya Shakti, gives us material happiness, which is just a different form of suffering, the soul, in illusion, experiences what the Maya Shakti is programming it to experience. But, on the other hand, if that same Tattvastha Shakti, that same marginal energy, doesn't take shelter of Maya, but takes shelter of Krishna, the spiritual energy or the internal energy, then his actual life, his spiritual life begins. So this is what's going on in the spiritual world. A devotee is one who has rejected or possibly has never been infected with taking shelter of the Maya Shakti, but he has given up the Maya Shakti and he's taking shelter of the internal energy, Krishna's pleasure potency, and therefore he has the ability to give Krishna pleasure. So this is all the interplay of Krishna's energies. So when the devotees, when Krishna's talking, saying that he's completely under the control of his devotees, he's also, it's all different exchanges with his own energy. This is explained by Srila Jiva Goswami. So he says, I am completely under the control of my devotees. And indeed, the topmost devotees, as Srila Prabhupada explains in one of the purports, he explains that's Srimati Radharani, who is the personification, Ladini Shakti Azmad, and all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vakritya Ladini Shakti Azmad, they're all going on, they are not material. They're going on not by the material energy, but they're all going on by the spiritual energy. So these things are very important to understand before reading the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, if we don't understand that those dealings between Krishna and his devotees, especially the dealings between Krishna and the gopis of Vrindavan, his coward girlfriends, if we don't understand these are not tinged with anything material, that they're all going on by a completely different energy, there's not a tinge of the material element of lust. They're all going on by spiritual love, actual love, pure love. So unless we understand these points about the interplay of Krishna with his spiritual energies, we will mistake the dealings of Krishna in Braja, in Vrindavan, is something mundane. So all these points are actually put in place, conceptual points are put in place in the preceding 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam. So what makes one a devotee? What makes Krishna dependent upon his devotee, controlled by his devotee? Now, the Lord himself is going to explain the qualities that a devotee has, an actual devotee, and they are wonderful. Indeed, he says, I am not at all independent, because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. I sit only within the cores of their heart. Their hearts are completely cleansed. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. So we've read the purport to that book. Second one we've also read as well. O best of the brahmanas, he says to Devasa Muni, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulence. So the Lord requires his devotees for his own pleasure. This is incredible, because again, the Lord is independent. Does this indicate some lack in him? No, not at all. Because the devotees and him are no different. It's like someone talking about their fingers. I require my fingers to eat. So is that showing that that it's something unnatural? That it's something artificial? No, this is the natural position of everyone. So similarly, Krishna's natural position is his relationship and exchange of loving energy with his devotees. So we've read that purport. Prabhupada in his purport gives an example. Like a rich man naturally cannot enjoy unless he has a son. So similarly, the devotee Krishna naturally cannot enjoy unless he has his devotees. So this is how extreme the relationship with Krishna and his devotees is. And Prabhupada also explains in his purport, the Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. And it is certain that a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes indirectly a controller of the Supreme Lord. How Krishna appreciates Ya idam paramam guyam madbhakteshwa vidasyati. How Krishna appreciates someone, a soul, who takes up the mission of increasing the number of devotees, because that's pure bhakti if he's doing it purely, because this is how Krishna gets his pleasure with his pure devotees. So it's increasing Krishna's pleasure. Text 65. So I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and supreme opulence without saintly persons, without my devotees. And then, what is a devotee? What is it that devotees do that endear them so greatly to Krishna? Text 65. Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees in any time? Here's Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by the words Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanhi Taya Cha. He is the well-wisher of the Brahmanas. Devasa Muni was certainly a very great Brahmana. But because he was a non-devotee, he could not sacrifice everything in devotional service. Great mystic yogis are actually self-interested. The proof is that when Devasa Muni created a demon to kill Maharaj Ambarish, the king stayed fixed in his place, praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and depending solely and wholly upon him. Whereas Devasa Muni, when Devasa Muni was chased by the Sudarshan Chakra by the supreme will of the Lord, he was so perturbed that he fled all over the world and tried to take shelter in every nook and corner of the universe. At last, in fear of his life, he approached Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was so interested in his own body that he wanted to kill the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore, he did not have very good intelligence. And how can an unintelligent person be delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The Lord certainly tries to give protection to his devotees who have given up everything for the sake of serving him. Another point in this verse is that attachment to Dharaghara Putrapta, home, wife, children, friendship, society, and love, is not the way to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to hearth and home for material pleasure cannot become a pure devotee. Sometimes a pure devotee may have a habit or attraction for wife, children, and home, but at the same time want to serve the Supreme Lord to the best of his ability. For such a devotee, the Lord makes a special arrangement to take away the objects of his false attachment and thus free him from attachment to wife, home, children, friends, and so on. This is the special mercy bestowed upon the devotee to bring him back home, back to Godhead. All Krishna reciprocating with his devotees. How can I give up my devotees at any time? Because they've given up everything to please me. And if Krishna were to give them up, after they had given up everything to please him, he would be ungrateful. And Krishna is not ungrateful. He is known as all merciful, not ungrateful. So Krishna is explaining, how can I give up my devotees at any time? Next, text 66, there is an example that he will give, the Lord will give, of how a devotee has managed to control him. They've given up everything. But also, as chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of their heart bring me under their full control. So Jiva Goswami explains that a chaste wife brings her husband under control. Why? Because she gives up everything for him. And he says that even she gives up her name. So that is the significance of the change of name at the time of a marriage. She's giving up her family, she's giving up even her name. And in the Indian culture, in the Vedic culture, they even change their first names. They get a new name completely. A new identity, that means. So is that a lack for the wife? Or is that a lack for the devotee that he gives up everything? Look what he gains. The wife gains. Practically the husband becomes so obliged that whatever she wants, she can easily get from him. And also the devotee becomes so powerful that the all-powerful person becomes his servant. There's one little pastime in Vrindavan where Krishna carries upon his head, baby Krishna carries upon his head the shoes of his father. So what? But when we think that this is Krishna, this is God, the Supreme Controller, Hamsavasya Prabhavo. And he's not in any way, and no one can force him to do anything. But his relationship with his father, the father asks, please bring my wooden shoes that I use for worship. And Krishna comes and puts them upon his head. Everything, all the pastimes in Vrindavan, no matter what they externally look like, they're all meant to increase the loving sentiments of the devotees. They're arranged by Krishna's energy just to increase the ecstasies experienced by the devotees in Krishna. Let the rasas, the relationship, develop. And in that way, both the Lord and his devotees compete who can give each other, who can serve better and more lovingly. And act not for their own pleasure, but for the pleasure of the devotees. So the ecstasy continuously increases. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of their heart bring me under their full control. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the word samadarshana is significant. The pure devotee is actually equal toward everyone, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Brahmabhuta prasanatma nasochati nakangshati samasaveshu bhuteshu. So hold the verse the Prabhupada quotes. Universal brotherhood is possible when one is a pure devotee. Pandita samadarshana. A pure devotee is actually learned because he knows his constitutional position. He knows the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he knows the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. Thus, he has full spiritual knowledge and is automatically liberated, Brahma Bhuta. He can therefore see everyone on the spiritual platform.
He can comprehend the happiness and distress of all living entities. He understands what is happiness to him is also happiness to others, and what is distress to him is distressing for others. Therefore, he is sympathetic to everyone. So this is Prabhupada's commenting on the part of the verse that says, the qualities of the pure devotee that bring him under control. The chaste women bring their gentle husband under control by service. The pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of their hearts, they bring me under their full control. So Prabhupada's explaining that how the pure devotees, they're equal to everyone, and practically speaking, they're the only ones with the consciousness, the necessary consciousness to be equal and compassionate to everyone. So this will be a requirement for bringing the Lord under control. So he's compassionate for everyone, sympathetic to everyone. As Prahlad Maharaj says, so chaitito vimukha chaitis indriyata maya sukaya bharam advahato vimudha. People suffer from material distress because they are not attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure devotee's chief concern, therefore, is to raise the ignorant mass of people to the sense of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, again, is pushing the point to preaching. And that desire to preach, to raise the whole world, and Prabhupada's desire was so huge and expansive that he wasn't satisfied helping one or two or three or four people become Krishna conscious. He wanted the world actually changed. It was such an incredibly powerful and complete desire. He wanted to challenge the scientists. He wanted to challenge bogus incarnations, those claiming to be God, bogus philosophies, bogus religions. He wanted to challenge because he saw that these were holding the people back. They challenge the material concept of life for the purpose of raising the ignorant mass of people to the sense of Krishna consciousness. So these people, because this is done in the mood again of service to Krishna, they bring the Lord under control. Because, again, their only desire is to please Krishna. They put everything else aside and keep no other independent desire, no independent desire. And as the next verse will explain, they're so satisfied in serving Krishna in this way that they don't even desire their own liberation. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nadanam Nadanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamani Mama Janamani Janamani Shrey Bhavatad Bhakti Rahita Kitare. Birth after birth, they don't mind as long as they are fixed in Krishna's service. So the Lord says, just glorifying his devotees. And we can just imagine how satisfied the devotees are that nadanam najanam the sundarim, they don't want any of the things that attract the people of the material world. They're already so satisfied, this can't be bluffed. They have so much satisfaction in serving Krishna that they can't be bought or compromised by the things of this world. What to speak of the things in this world, they also have no desire even for liberation. That's the subject matter of this verse. My devotees, who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service, are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, and Sharshti. Although these are automatically achieved by their service, what then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? Not interested. Text 68. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of a pure devotee, of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Purport. Since Devasa Muni wanted to chastise Maharaj Ambarish, it is to be understood that he wanted to give pain to the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the Lord says, Saravo Hridayam Mayam. That's the Sanskrit, the first line of this verse. Saravo Hridayam Mayam Sadonam Hridayam Tvaham. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. The Lord's feelings are like that, those of a father who feels pain when his child is in pain. Therefore, offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee are serious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very strongly recommended that one not commit any offense at the lotus feet of a devotee. Such offenses are compared to a mad elephant, because when a mad elephant enters a garden, it causes devastation. Therefore, one should be extremely careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Maharaj Ambarish was not at all at fault. Devasa Muni unnecessarily wanted to chastise him on flimsy grounds. Maharaj Ambarish wanted to complete the Ekadasi Paran, the breaking of the Ekadasi, as part of devotional service to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he drank a little water. But although Devasa Muni was a great mystic brahmana, he did not know what is what. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a so-called learned scholar of Vedic knowledge. The devotees, being always situated in the core of the Lord's heart, surely get all instructions directly from the Lord, as confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Tisham evanakam partam maham agyanajam tama nashyam yatma babasto agyanadipena basvata. Out of compassion for them, Krishna says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. The devotee does not do anything not sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said, Vaishnavera Kriyamudra Vigyeha Na Pujaya. Even the most learned or experienced person cannot understand the movements of a Vaishnava, a pure devotee. No one, therefore, should criticize a pure Vaishnava. A devotee knows his own business. Whatever he does is precisely right because he is always guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotees, again, the pure devotees, do not know anything else but me, Krishna says. And in reciprocation, I do not know anyone else but them. A pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. So there are a few verses I wanted to read from the Bhagavatam, from different parts of the Bhagavatam. How much the Lord identifies with the devotees. If you remember back in the third canto, when the two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, wouldn't allow the four Kumaras to enter Vaikuntha to see the Lord, they were so upset, they cursed the two gatekeepers. And then the Lord said one verse. Lord Narayan said, Tadva prasadam yadhya brahmadvayam param hime taditjatma kritam manye yatsva pumbira satkrita. To me, the Brahman is the highest and most beloved personality. So he was actually superficially taking the side of the four Kumaras. The Lord said, yes, you are right, because you are Brahmanas. And to me, the Brahmana is the most beloved personality. The disrespect shown by my attendants has actually been displayed by me, because the doormen are my servitors. I take this to be an offense by myself, and therefore I seek your forgiveness for the incident that has arisen. So the Kumaras, when they heard this, because on one level it appeared like the Lord was apologizing, but subtly he was criticizing them by showing them how much he identifies with his devotees, saying that anything my devotees do, it is me doing it. So they've committed an offense, therefore it's me who's committed the offense. Such a complete identity between the Lord and his devotees. This is a different kind of oneness than the monists talk about. But this is due to love, love between the individuals. So very wonderful. Jiva Goswami has quoted this in Bhakti Sandarbha. And then the Lord himself in the 11th canto, when he says to Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita, he says, Natata me priyatama atmayonir na shankara natcha shankarsano nasri naivatma cha yata bhavan. My dear Uddhav, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Shankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self are as dear to me as you are. So, saying there that his devotee Uddhava is dearer to him than his own self. When Jagai and Madhai attacked Lord Nityananda, and then by Nityananda Prabhu's plan to get them to obtain the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagai stopped Madhai from hurting Nitai Prabhu again. So when Lord Chaitanya was about to kill them with his chakra, Nityananda Prabhu intervened and said, when Madhai was trying to hurt me for a second time, Jagai stopped him. So as soon as he said that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart melted. You've protected my Nitai, my devotee Nitai. And he immediately gave him his mercy. Then, when Jagai was in ecstasy due to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhai wanted that mercy too, so he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he fell at his feet and begged him, and your Patita Pavana, you've given your mercy to this fallen soul, so sinful, and you've given his mercy, but I want to assure you that every sinful thing that he's done, I've also done. So therefore, I'm equally qualified to get your mercy. So give me your mercy, too. You've given so many demons your mercy. Demons who've attacked your body, who've shot you, done this and that. You've given them your mercy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no. Because Nittai, as this verse explains, is even more dear to me than my own self, my own body. So this is the incredibly intense relationship between the Lord and his devotee. Therefore, Prabhupada brings out in the purport that we have to be very careful with dealing with the devotees, especially pure devotees, Prabhupada mentions. And of all the devotees, in the 10th canto, in the 32nd verse, chapters, 22nd, Krishna, when the gopis come to him in the middle of the night, because as Krishna is saying here, that he's indebted to his devotees because they give everything to him. But the debt of the gopis becomes so great, the intensity of their surrender and desire to give him pleasure and giving up everything for his pleasure is so great that he says, Naparyeham niravadya samyutam svasadukrityam vidubai yasapiva nyamabhajandur jarageha shrinkala samrischatarva patiyattu saduna. I'm not able to repay my debt for your spotless service. I can't repay you. Even within a lifetime of Brahma, your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. You have defeated me by your devotion. So this is the highest position. The highest position is of the gopis, of Vrindavan. But it has nothing to do with the dealings between girls and boys, male and female in the material world. It is all Ladini Shakti Asma. It is all the interplay of Krishna's internal energy. So the Lord then says to Vyasamuni, considering this, you've heard now, I've explained to you my relationship with my devotees. Please understand, therefore, what you have done when trying to kill Ambarish Maharaj. So therefore in text 69, it says, O Brahmana, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. That question, I think that Tony asked in the last class, what is this self-envy? And the Sanskrit word is atma-bicharas. Atma abhicharaha, self-envy or envious of yourself, your mind, which has caused you to do this, has become your great enemy. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy as your own worst enemy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One so-called prowess, which when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object who is harmed. So the subject, the one who tried to harm, he himself is becoming harmed. Not the object who he was trying to hurt, which was Maharaj Ambarish, but the person who was the herder, he himself is becoming hurt by this, and therefore he's forced to run to Ambarishma, to the Lord, and beg his forgiveness. And next he's going to have to, on the Lord's order, go run to Ambarish Maharaj. Prabhupada's purport. A Vaishnava is always an object of envy for non-devotees, even when the non-devotee happens to be his father. To give a practical example, Hiranyakashipu was envious of Prahlad Maharaj. But this envy of the devotee was harmful to Hiranyakashipu, not Prahlad. Every action taken by Hiranyakashipu against his son Prahlad Maharaj was taken very seriously by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus, when Hiranyakashipu was on the verge of killing Prahlad, the Lord personally appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu. Service to a Vaishnava gradually accumulates and becomes an asset for the devotee. Similarly, harmful activities directed against the devotee gradually become the ultimate cause of the performer's fall down. Even such a great Brahmana and mystic yogi as Devasa was in a most dangerous situation because of his offense at the lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarish, a pure devotee. For a Brahmana, austerity and learning are certainly auspicious, the Lord says, but when acquired by a person who is not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. Prabhupada's purport. It is said that a jewel is very valuable, but when it is on the hood of a serpent, it is dangerous despite its value. So if one sees the jewel on the hood of a serpent and goes to take it, he's going to be bitten and will die. So it's dangerous. It's attractive and therefore it's dangerous if placed wrongly. Similarly, when a materialistic non-devotee achieves great success in learning and austerity, that success is dangerous for all society. So-called learned scientists, for example, invented atomic weapons that are dangerous for all humanity. It is therefore said, manina bhushita sarpa kimaso na bhayankara. A serpent with a jewel on its hood is as dangerous as a serpent without such a jewel. Devasamuni was a very learned Brahmana, equipped with mystic power, but because he was not a gentleman, he did not know how to use his power. He was therefore extremely dangerous. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is never inclined towards a dangerous person who uses his mystic power for some personal design. By the laws of nature, therefore, such misuse of power is ultimately dangerous not for society but for the person who misuses it. And the final verse in this chapter. O best of the Brahmanas, you should therefore go immediately to King Ambarish, the son of Maharaj Nabhaga. I wish you all good fortune. If you can satisfy Maharaj Ambarish, then there will be peace for you. And Prabhupada Nes Prabhupada quotes some Sanskrit verses by Madhvacharya, a very short English translation or comment by Prabhupada. He says, the lesson to be derived from this narration concerning Maharaj Ambarish and Devasa Muni is that all the demigods, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are under the control of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, when a Vaishnava is offended, the offender is punished by Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. No one can protect a person, even Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 4th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Ambarish Maharaj Offended by Devasa Muni. Okay. We'll stop here. If there's some willing, we'll continue with the next chapter. Experiencing, does Krishna experience misery or not?
Yeah. So, but there in this verse, it seems that he is.
Which verse? Which one? Second one is, O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons from only the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulence. Third one is, since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or even the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of their heart, bring me under their full control. My devotees are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service and not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, and Sharshti, although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary systems? The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of my pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. O Brahmana, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. For a Brahmin, austerity and learning are certainly auspicious, but when acquired by a person who is not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. O best of the Brahmanas, you should therefore go immediately to King Ambarish, the son of Maharaj Navaga. I wish you all good fortune. If you can satisfy Maharaj Ambarish, then there will be peace to you. The only one I didn't read was the first one. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cores of their hearts. What to speak of my devotees, even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. While you're looking for that, I'll just mention that here Krishna is saying, I sit only within the core of the hearts of my devotees. But of course, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Savasya Chaham Ride Sanavisto, that he's in everyone's heart. Every living entity, Ishwara Savabhutaram Riddhishe Arjuna Tishtati. But here he's saying he's only in the core of the heart of his devotees. Practically speaking, this is the case. Because in the heart of living entities that are not devotees, it's Savaham Savabhuteshu Name Dvesha Astinapriya. He practically acts neutrally. He just sanctions the reactions of the modes of the laws of material nature. But with the devotees, with
But the devotees, he reciprocates with them, he cares for them. He arranges pastimes, as Prabhupada explained in one purport. Even if they're attached and they're sincere, he'll take away the attachments. If they're not attached, he'll do this. He does everything for his devotees. So he's active in the relationship. So indeed, although the living entity, practically speaking, can't be alive without Krishna in his heart, but he's just still nevertheless neutral when there. But for the devotee, he's active. So these are to inspire us, and to inspire us to become devotees, to tell us what it means to be a devotee, and to instruct us how we can become devotees, because this is required. This is the purpose of the Bhagavatam. And ultimately, at the time when we leave this world, we're going to have to be fully dependent on Krishna, which is at the essence of Gotupte Varanam Tata, the essence of surrender and devotion. Find it?
Wasn't there a section there where Srila Prabhupada mentioned something about how, just as the father feels pain when the child is feeling pain, Krishna feels pain?
For the devotees. Because that's probably, is that the part that you're talking about? But that's.
It's not a negative.
But how about that? What Jagatarini just said, that he, like the father. But that's for the devotees, which is different. Because again, this is interplay of the internal energy. Like Lord Nisringadev, he came one incarnation, one entire incarnation came to protect one devotee. It wasn't like to protect millions of people. Because one devotee was being threatened. He was furious. He was so angry. So that's talking about the dealings between the Lord and his devotee. But also so wonderful. So I could say clearly that I'm how can I expect anything from any reciprocation from Krishna? I'm not a devotee. Certainly. So our hope is what is said in the first verse, and what Prabhupada explains in the purport, what to speak of my devotees, even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. So that's the hope, and Krishna says this in the Adi Purana, that those who say they are my devotees are not my devotees, but those who say that they are the devotees of my devotees, they are my devotees. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identifies himself, Gopi Bhakta Padakamale Vadasa Dasana Das. Thus, as Prabhupada explains in that purport, thus he instructs us to become not directly servants of Krishna, but servants of the servants of Krishna. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur therefore says, Yasya Prasada Bhagava Prasada. If one very sincerely serves a spiritual master, Krishna certainly becomes favorable to such a devotee. So this is our hope. Because we are not devotees, Krishna doesn't hear our prayers in the same way. But if we identify ourselves as servant of devotees, then he's saying that he's attentive. It seems to make up for that lack. It's like when there's a little boy, and what does a little boy have? He doesn't have any knowledge. He doesn't have any influence. He doesn't have any power. But if his father is influential and powerful, he can take him to see the most influential person. You can take this little boy who's just this, on one level a silly little boy, but because of the relationship, that very, very, very powerful person, when he sees that someone who he has a deep relationship with, this is his son, he'll pat him on the head, he'll give him something, he'll show him so much affection. So to become a devotee of a devotee gives us a special position in line in relationship with Krishna. A special facility.
So therefore, Deva Goswami explains in the Sandarbhas that devotional, the items of devotion can be offered to the Lord or to the Lord's devotees. Yes, and then we'll stop. I'm sorry, say that again.
Perhaps the Lord's distress, or if you can say it like that, can be seen on the part, on the lack of exchange of interchange between the Lord and his devotees.
No, because if someone is a devotee, he's interchanging with the Lord. If someone is a devotee, that's where he's living in the Lord's mercy. So if someone is aspiring to be a devotee, he's interchanging with his own mind and the material energy continuously. But a devotee is one who's, obviously the definition of a devotee is the actual Vaishnava, someone who's actually a Vaishnava, who's beyond the modes of material nature and taking shelter of the Lord, a pure devotee. With those devotees, but he is interacting with those devotees already. Therefore, Prahlad was not in any anxiety, but the Lord was angry. Prahlad was not in distress. He was incredibly peaceful despite the dangerousness of the situation. So, my Bhagavatam Ki Jai. My Bhagavatam Ki Jai.